This is the Ignite Rock Podcast with your host Ahmed Khalifa, episode 23. Let's go! And here we go! This is the Ignite Rock Podcast with your host Ahmed Khalifa, and this is where we listen to awesome individuals who are doing awesome stuff using WordPress. Welcome to the show, everyone. Thank you for tuning in and thank you for lending me your ears. Now, let's get stuck in and straight into the show. And here you go, everyone. This is going to be a really, really good interview today because I've got Holly Wharton on the line and I'm quite excited about this one because I've been reading quite a lot about what she's been doing and it's very different, but I think it's going to be very, very cool as well. So, Holly, thank you for your time. You know, I really do appreciate you giving me your time and effort and sharing your wisdom to be here today. So I guess we can start off with just tell us a bit about yourself, who you are, where you're from, and how did you get to where you are today?
All right. Thank you for having me, first of all. I'm excited to be on your show talking about WordPress. I love WordPress. So who am I? So I am a business mindset coach. So I work with entrepreneurs, people who are trying to build a business, but who are feeling stuck or struggling to really step into their full potential because of limiting beliefs, self-esteem, self-confidence issues. Those are kinds of the biggest things that come up with my clients. So I work with them using a combination of a technique that helps you reprogram your beliefs at the subconscious level and also releases any energy blocks you might have in your system. And I combine that with just practical business coaching and mentoring. So that's what I do.
How did you get to that? Because I saw on your site, you call yourself the business mindset alchemist.
Yes.
And it's a powerful word, alchemist. I think of the book, obviously, you know, and immediately I'm thinking, oh, I can see the relation to it. Mm-hmm. But how did you get to that stage? Why did you get to that stage? And also, you know, tell me a little bit more about it in terms of like, how do you go about helping, particularly women entrepreneurs, mm-hmm. Helping them get that mindset in the way that help them succeed as well?
Okay. So I've been in business since 1999. Not this particular business, but I had my previous business with a business partner, what was way back when I lived in Latin America, and we owned eco hotels in Mexico. And that was my first business. I had zero business experience. I just kind of got thrown into this project. It was such hard work. And it grew beautifully over the course of 10 years, after which I decided to leave the business, take some time off, and then start up a new business. And I decided to go into coaching because I loved personal development. I loved the concept of coaching. My coaching training was hugely transformational for me. And I thought it would be easy because I had 10 years of business experience compared to everyone else in my coaching program had 0 years of business experience. So I thought, well, my area of expertise within my previous business was online marketing. So I thought, well, I've got the online marketing skills. I've got the business skills. I totally know what I'm doing. Now I know how to coach. We're all set. And it wasn't like that. It was so hard. I struggled so much to set up my business. And my business went through so many different incarnations. It went through life coaching, and then I was doing social media coaching, like helping people learn how to use social media in their business. And then I went back to business coaching, and it was a long journey of many different versions of my business. But throughout all of it, I struggled so much because of my own limiting beliefs. You know, I had all the practical business skills. I knew what to do. But I wasn't always doing it because I didn't really believe in myself. You know, I had that imposter syndrome. What if people find out I'm not perfect? What if I make a mistake? How can I market myself? And when you're a coach, like that kind of business is very much about you. So it wasn't like I was marketing this hotel, which I had created, but it wasn't me. That was easy. But when the focus was all on me and my business as a coach, it was so hard because I had so much stuff in my head that wasn't serving me. And it was just, I'm not good enough, never going to be good enough. Just low self-esteem, low self-confidence, even though I had all the practical knowledge. So that's why instead of just being a straight up business coach, I wanted to work with people on the deeper stuff, which is the mindset. Because from my experience, from my personal experience, and from what I see in other people, if you're working to build your business and it's just not working, it could be because your mindset isn't where it needs to be.
Very good point. I mean, to be fair, I think everyone has been to that stage of imposter syndrome and you're not good enough. You can go through like 10, 20 years of experience and you still doubt yourself. So, I mean, I can relate to that. And I'm sure a lot of people who are listening can relate to that as well. But it's about trusting yourself, trusting your skills, trusting your belief and your knowledge, and that you can help people. It's not easy. You have to kind of get over that hurdle. It's not easy at all. But, you know, I'm sure that you've noticed kind of recently there seems to be like a trend where you have to hustle to succeed. You have to work your butt off. You have to, you know, work at least 16 hours a day. And, you know, whether it's online or in Canary Wharf or Wall Street, wherever, you know, that seemed to be a trend and also something to be shown off about. Apparently, you know, people boast about, yeah, I work 16 hours or I sleep 3 hours a day because X, Y, and Z. I'm going to guess that you are not in that kind of mentality at all. It's complete opposite as well, I'm guessing.
Yes. Yeah, you're right. That was a good guess. So in my first business, I was a workaholic. I worked crazy long hours. I mean, I would be up at 7 o'clock in the morning and I would go to bed at 1 in the morning or later. And I was working the entire day. And because our business was hotels, we also had restaurants. So I didn't even have to cook. I would just sit at my desk and the cook would bring me a plate of food to my desk and I would eat as I was working. I didn't even take the time to get up and get food. You know, so it was just really, really, and I, as you said, I prided myself on that. I was so proud of the fact that I didn't have time to eat a proper meal. I just ate in front of my computer because I was working so hard. And it's like, we put so much value on hard work and it has to be hard and you have to hustle. And I don't believe that anymore. Like you can run a business that way. And if that's what you want, great. But I don't think that's the right path for everyone. And I think it can lead to burnout for a lot of people. And in between my two businesses, I actually took about a year and a half off of what I called a sabbatical, but it ended up being more than a year because I was so burnt out, just deep, deep burnout. And I had to get to the point where I could recover from that before I could start thinking about what new business I wanted to set up, because it was just so stressful and I had to get all that stress out of my system and kind of start fresh because I was just knackered, just not in a good place at all. So that is one way to run a business, but I don't think that's the only way to run a business. I think you can do it without the hustle.
You don't have to. Yeah. I mean, it depends on who you are, what works for you. Yeah. It makes sense. I mean, for me, I'm not one to work 18 hours a day and don't eat food and don't exercise, but you know, I think there seems to be sometimes people think that I should put all hours of a day to making your business work or anything, any project work, your studies or whatever. But sometimes you have to stop. Sometimes you have to take a break, take one step backward to go 2 steps forward. And it's hard for a lot of people to think like that. And I don't blame them. But it's really true. You have to kind of look after yourself and look after your body, your mindset and all these things. And that's what you do, I suppose, as well.
And I think that downtime is really important because that's also when your creative ideas come in. If you're hustling all the time and you're just working, 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 you don't have any space for those creative ideas to come in. And that's where the gold is in business so often.
And you've got loads of creative ideas because now you're all this content, you're creating a blog and podcast and a book as well. I mean, wow, you've got a lot of stuff going on now. And I mean, over 200 episodes, you've got a book on Amazon and it's available for $1.99 about business mindset. And it's just amazing about how much creativity you have in you. So I'm curious to know, do you have a system? I mean, what is your routine when it comes to creating, you know, blog posts or podcasts and even writing the book eventually? What kind of system did you have and how did that, you know, work out for you?
So I have a combination of a really clear system and then no system at all. So let me try
we've
to
all been there. We've all been there. Don't worry.
Let me try to explain what that means. So I actually have 6 books that I've written that are available on Amazon. And the way I got those done was with a very clear system that I call the Workcation Weekend. And the Workcation Weekend, which you may have read on my website, once a month, I book a hotel, I get out of my office, out of my normal working space, I go somewhere new, like different, where I don't have any distractions, I bring food with me, put it in the mini fridge, and I just work on one project. And the Workcation Weekends allowed me to write 6 books, self-publish them. They allowed me to do a website in a weekend, to create an online course in a weekend, because I just focus on that one thing. And it's like I allow myself to go into hyper-focus mode and I don't do anything else. I don't look at emails. I don't look at Facebook. I don't look at anything. I just do that one project. And I get so much done in 2 days of super focus on one thing. So that's my one system that totally works. For all the other content I create, and I am aware that I create a lot of stuff because I've got a YouTube channel as well. So I do videos and I'm not super consistent with that. Blog posts, also not very consistent. The one thing that I have been super consistent with over the last 4 years is my podcast. And the system I have for that is I have someone that helps me with the audio stuff. I've got a great guy in the Philippines. He does my audio editing. He sets it all up on my blog, uploads it to Libsyn, gets it ready to go out on Facebook. He does like all the stuff that I don't like doing. Like I just do the interview, which is what I love, or the solo episode, and he does all the rest. And he's great. He's so much more on top of things than I am. Like he's constantly getting in touch with me. And he's like, Holly, I think you're missing one element of this episode.
Wow.
So he's really good. He's a great guy and he's been working with me from the start. Love him. So it works because I've got a great guy who supports me in doing all the stuff that I'm not good at. And I work on a schedule about 8 weeks out. So the interviews that I do this week will be going out 8 weeks from now. So I plan really far ahead of time. And that gives me enough of a cushion in case life gets in the way, something happens, I get behind, that kind of thing. So that's how I've managed to be really, really consistent with the podcast in a way that I haven't been consistent with blog posts or videos.
But it's really interesting that, you know, you've outsourced things that you don't like or takes you time or whatever it is. And basically, you're buying yourself time to do other things as well. So, and why not? There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. There's no, you know, you shouldn't be embarrassed about that. You can't be good at everything. And you know, what could take you 3 hours in terms of editing anything could take another person half an hour. You know, I don't mind paying for that, you know, if it saves me 3 hours. So
I completely agree. And I think that's something that more entrepreneurs need to understand. I mean, when I first started my podcast, like I'm really good at teaching myself stuff. I'm really good at learning things. But when I first started my podcast, I looked at audio editing and I was like, okay, how do you do this? I need to figure this out. And I looked at it and I was like, I don't even want to learn that. So I just went straight online, started asking friends, tried to find someone, found him right away, and he ended up being perfect. But it was really clear to me that that was a skill that I did not want to learn. So it had to be outsourced.
And I think, you know, what you said about, you know, you lock yourself in a hotel room for a couple of days, whatever. It sounds very, very similar to what J.K. Rowling has done. Now, because I live in Edinburgh, and obviously she's local, not that close to me, you know, but still a local person. And I believe she has picked a few places and a couple of hotels where she locked herself away, and she wrote Harry Potter. And it worked for her. And there's one particular cafe, it's very, very popular because of that, because she just sat there facing the Edinburgh Castle, and just started writing. And that became, you know, a worldwide phenomenon now as well. So it's not a bad idea. I think, you know, if you have that flexibility and ability to go work in different places, take advantage of it. So, no, that's really a really cool idea. I like that a lot. I'm going to have to think about locking myself at the hotel room, but just leave my wife at home.
Yes, that's the point. I don't take my husband with me. He stays at home. My cats stay at home. I have no distraction. So it's about finding what place works for you. So maybe it's a hotel room, maybe it's a cafe. Like, where does your brain focus best?
Yeah.
And that takes trial and error. So. Yeah.
No, that makes sense. So obviously, all of this content, all of this stuff, yeah, it goes on YouTube and different places, but it has to go on your website, your WordPress site. You know, that is the hub of everything for you. So, you know, I'm very curious to know about your first experience with WordPress. You know, how was that? When was that? And, you know, why did you choose WordPress in the end as well?
Well, my first WordPress website started in 2006. So I had been thinking about starting a blog because I was living in Latin America at the time, and I've lived in several different countries. So that means I've had friends in many different parts of the world. And so it was really hard for me to stay in touch with people, and I didn't want to just kind of copy and paste the same email to everyone. Like, so this is what's going on in my life. That just felt awkward and weird. And it was too much time and energy to write a separate email to everyone, and it was just awkward. So a friend of mine had started a blog on WordPress. And I thought, oh, that's a great idea for me to just update what's going on in my life and people can read it or not. And so I saw that she had started her blog on WordPress and I was like, what is this WordPress thing? Because it was 2006. I hadn't heard of it. Checked it out, really liked it, started my own blog. And that was how my WordPress journey began. And I found it really easy to use. Like I said, I've always been really good at teaching myself stuff, especially technical stuff, but WordPress was just super, super easy. And since then, I've never considered another platform for my websites. Whether I have someone else build a website for me or whether I do it on my own, I always use WordPress because I just love WordPress. I love it. You know? And many years ago, I think it must have been 2007 or 2008, I met Matt Mullenweg a couple times at WordCamp in Buenos Aires in Argentina, where I lived. And we went out to lunch a couple times. And it was just so great to meet him and to see kind of the culture behind this system that I really loved. And so it's like, love Matt, love WordPress. Like, I'm not leaving anytime soon. Anytime anyone talks to me about, like, any of the other content management systems out there, I'm like, none of that. I just want WordPress. It's so good.
Wow. That must be a really cool experience to meet Matt. And you went to WordCamp in Buenos Aires as well. For those who doesn't know, WordCamp is like a WordPress conference. But it is more of an event. You know, people come together and share things and speaking and hack day and all these events going on. It's a really, really fun environment to be in. But you've caught the bug, and that doesn't matter. I'm, you know, my kind of style. There's nothing wrong with that at all. So obviously, you know, you're using WordPress now for your website, which is, you know, hollywharton.com, and you've got .co.uk as well. Did you build it yourself? Did you start from scratch by yourself, or did you have someone else to do it for you? What was the process in terms of building that up?
So my first blog I did on my own. I ran that thing for years and never thought of getting help with it because it was just so easy to do. Then throughout all of my previous incarnations of my business, I did have a couple of websites where I hired someone else to do them for me. So I would have this guy do the websites for me, and then he would deliver kind of the project and I would take it from there and just add all the pages and add anything else I needed and that kind of thing. But it was just nice to have someone set up the structure for me. My last couple of websites I've done on my own using Divi, which I love. Divi is another one of my, I've used it for a couple of years now, but it's just, I love it, love it, love it. It's so easy. And when I said to you that I created a whole website in a workation weekend, that was using Divi. And I learned how to use Divi and built the website in one weekend. So again, I think it's really intuitive. It's easy to use. It's easy to create attractive websites. And it's one of my favorite themes. Loving Divi.
Divi is one of the most popular WordPress themes around. So it doesn't surprise me that not only you use it, but you love it as well. You know, it seems to be the impression that I get from a lot of people, because I've never really used it extensively. I have dabbled with it, played with it, but it seems to be like, you know, it helps you to look very professional in terms of how your website appears as well, which is, you know, for a lot of people, like, you know, in our situation, if you're working on your own or whatever, perfect. That's what you need as well. So, and then, you know, I'm sure you've heard it, but a lot of people will complain about WordPress saying, oh, I can't do this, can't do that, or they're having trouble with it. So, you know, what advice would you have for anyone who's having trouble starting their WordPress site or even growing with it, you know, what advice would you have for those people?
I would say if you're having trouble at any stage of working with a WordPress website, go online and Google the solution. There's so, like, WordPress has been around for so many years now. There are so many people that specialize in WordPress that teach you how to use WordPress, YouTube videos on how to use WordPress. Like, just Google your problem and you will find the solution quickly and easily, and then just do it. Like, there's so much information out there. You just need to be proactive and look for the solution. There's so much out there. I mean, anytime I ever have a question on how to do anything in WordPress, I just Google it and I find the answer. So just be proactive and look for it, because if you can't figure it out on your own, don't waste the time, search for the answer.
It's something that I've mentioned so many times in the past. You know, the community behind WordPress is so supportive. Not only you can ask them in certain places, in the forums and whatever, but you know, the amount of content, articles, guides, ebooks, and whatever, you know, we're talking a huge, huge, huge amount, up to date and as well. And you can kind of get by very, very well with just following these advice and reading these articles. And you're right, even YouTube as well, it's something that, it's a very good point. You can watch some instruction guide on YouTube videos, or even do a course. You know, sometimes you can find free courses, other time you pay. You know, £20, you know, even for a course, you know, why not? Why not? It's a good investment for yourself, for your business. It's brilliant. But it's so great that you have that enthusiasm about WordPress, which is another reason why I wanted to interview you as well, because you have that enthusiasm and it's brilliant. So, you know, with all that combined together, you know, and, you know, you're talking about business mindset. You know, running an online business, it's not easy. You said yourself that you had to work so, so hard in your previous business and stuff like that. So then what is, you know, not maybe your best advice, but what is one of your advice that you would give to people to help them get that right mindset to help them with their business?
I think it all starts with paying attention to what your current mindset is. And that kind of requires training your brain. So if you're ever working in your business and you hesitate to do something, or you're procrastinating on something and you just keep shoving it down, down, down on the list, stop and think about why. Is it because it's maybe not a high priority for you, or is it because it is a high priority, but you're scared of it for some reason? How do you feel about it? And start paying attention to all the stuff that either scares you or doesn't feel right, or, you know, any beliefs you have that you think, well, I can't do that, or I'm not good enough. Start paying attention to that stuff, and maybe even write it down so that it makes it real, so that you really acknowledge the fact that you've got these beliefs, and then do something about it. I mean, it's either see a practitioner or a facilitator who can help you work through that, or a coach, or do something like EFT that you can find tons of videos on YouTube. Emotional freedom technique, or tapping, is a really easy way. You don't have to train in it. Thousands of videos available on YouTube. But do something to work through that stuff. But before you can do the work, you need to figure out what your specific limiting beliefs or fears are. So it all comes down to starting with awareness. Don't just sweep it under the rug and pretend it's not there, because it will still be there operating in the background, even if you're not paying attention to it. So bring it up to the light, give it the space, and then get rid of it.
And it's just like a lot of things in life, it's better to deal with it than sweep it under the carpet.
Yep.
You know, just let it come out, deal with it head on, and just tackle it. And one of my favorite things to do is, you know, if you ever have doubts about your skills or anything like that, next time anybody has written or said anything good about you, track it, write it down, log it. I've got on Evernote, I've got a special note. I call it the awesome log. And basically, anytime there is a compliment or something happened and I want to write down about it, or, you know, just a really good social media comment about whatever I do, I put it in there. That way, when you have any doubts about yourself, you just go there, look at it, and then, you know, think, you know what? I'm not as bad as I think I am. People do appreciate how good you are. So, just, you know, you don't have to be afraid. So that is one of my favorite techniques.
Excellent advice. I have a folder on my computer and I screen capture stuff and I just put it in the folder. So yeah. Very good advice.
Yeah. No, screen grab as well. It's my favorite thing. You could screen grab a tweet or whatever, or yeah. comment, even if it's a private one. You know, at the end of the day, it's going to be for you only. You're not going to publish yeah. it anywhere. So even if you screen grab of anything and put it somewhere safe, just have a look at it. It's nice, you know, to look at it and give you a smile now and then. So it's really, really cool. So so then, you know, what is your biggest strength?
Oh, my biggest strength, I would say my intuition. Like, that's something that I've written a book on, business intuition, because it's such a big part of my life now. It didn't used to be. And I always thought that I wasn't an intuitive person and I just didn't have that skill. But it is a skill and you can learn how to do it. And you can learn how to like stay in touch with yourself. So my intuition allows me to stay really connected with myself and just listen to my gut and know exactly where to go. And I have unwavering trust in my intuition. So if my intuition says to me, you need to do this in your business, I'll do it even if it doesn't make sense, because it will make sense down the line. And it's taken me a long time to trust that and to develop that. But now it is definitely kind of my superpower and biggest strength in my business, because it's led me down paths that my head would not have led me down. It's taken me to good places.
Wow. But then, I mean, it's the same thing what you said. If you have imposter syndrome and you're doubting yourself and you're doubting your intuition and your gut feeling, yeah. then you question it. But now you feel much more confident about it. You say, you know what? My gut is saying this. Just do it.
Yep.
And, you know, you go ahead with it. And, yeah, no, I like that. That's a really good strength to have. I think you're right, Joe. It's something that you can learn. And there's a lot of mm-hmm. things that people say you can't pick up because it has to be inside you. But that one, yeah. Yeah, you mm-hmm. can learn with that. So then let's go the other way around. What is your biggest weakness and how do you overcome it?
So my biggest weakness is kind of the other side of the coin, is getting out of touch with myself and not paying attention to what I need or what space I am at any given time. So sometimes my brain just isn't very good at focus for whatever reason. And I'm having a day where I just can't get anything done, but sometimes I'll like try to just push myself and just forge through it. And whatever I create in that space is not going to be good. So my weakness is not always paying attention to where I am and what I need to be doing. And what I do, how do I deal with that, is just try to remind myself, if my brain isn't working on this kind of task right now, just let go, push it in the calendar to another day when hopefully I will be able to work on it better. But just allow myself to do what I need to do in any given moment. So obviously I have clients throughout the day, but in between the client sessions, I do work on my business. And it's managing that time with whatever my brain is suited for at that moment. And sometimes I can plan for that and sometimes I can't. So it's about giving myself permission to move stuff around and maybe not write the blog post when I thought I was going to write it, or record the podcast episode when I thought I was going to do it, because it would have not been very good if I had forced myself to do it.
So you want to enjoy it at the end of the day. You want to be in the yeah. flow. So.
Yeah. And more importantly, I want to create good content. I don't want to just do stuff for the sake of doing stuff and being visible. This is something that I've been really going on about lately a lot, like on my own platforms and with friends. You know, all the people that are out there doing like Facebook Lives every day and that kind of thing, and just doing quantity, quantity, quantity. It's like, okay, you're getting visible. People are seeing you. But is that your best work? Like, would it be better to maybe do one a week, but have it be just amazing, out of this world? Because the really good content is the stuff that's going to get shared. So yeah. I don't know. I'm kind of trying to allow myself the space to produce better stuff rather than tons of stuff.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And, you know, it's what we said earlier about, you know, you have to work 18 hours a day to force things out. Take a step back. It's okay. You can, yep. You're allowed to do that. You're allowed to do that. So It's a really good point. I like that a lot as well. So let's get sentimental then. What are you most proud about with your business?
What am I most proud about? I would say helping other people. And the way I help people to dig really deep and get to the icky stuff in a way that's not difficult. Like, I use humor a lot with clients. So, like, we'll talk about the really deep, dark stuff, but I'll kind of, I don't know how to make this sound. Like, you'd have to be in a session with me to understand it, because I don't, like, joke about people's pain. But, like, yeah. I bring elements of humor into it so that it, they're digging up the deep stuff, but it's, it doesn't feel painful to talk about. It feels light. And I'm really good at helping people see when they're stuck in their smallness and lifting them up into their greatness and their potential. Really good at calling people out when they're playing small and seeing it, and seeing that they're capable of so much more. So I like doing the deep work with people and just helping people achieve their potential. So that's what I'm most proud of. I love doing the deep stuff.
It must be really rewarding to see that. From, yeah. You see them at the stage one, and then at the very end of it, you look at them after what you've done with them, and they just, you know, revitalize, yeah, kind of thing. Yeah. It must be really rewarding. So that's really cool. But I mean, I'm trying my best to keep it short and concise, because we can talk for ages. We can go on for forever. But, you know, it's just been really, really good talking to you, and I really, really enjoyed it. Love your energy about how much you not only love your business, but WordPress and stuff like that as well. Really, really loved it as well. So, you know, before we kind of close things off, where is the best place for people to find you and connect with you?
Yeah, best place is hollywharton.com, and that's HollyWharton.com. And that has links to everything. It's got links to all my books on Amazon. It's got links to my YouTube, all my social media stuff, podcast, everything. So you can find me there.
Awesome. And I'll put that in the show note as well, so you can find it there as well. So Holly, again, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
And that is it. Thank you, Holly, once again for coming onto the show. Really, really appreciate it. Really had a good fun talking to you. I know we can go on forever about it, but it's just so much fun chatting with you. And, you know, there's so many things to pick up as usual when I talk to people. And one of those with Holly is that, you know, you need to get your mindset right. And you just don't have to copy how other people do it. Just because other people hustle all the time and work all day long doesn't mean that that is how you should work as well. Find the best way that you can make it work. It's your way, your style, not other people's style, that you should find out. Find what works best for you. If you enjoyed the show, I would really, really appreciate it if you could leave a review on iTunes. It makes me so, so happy. I really, really would appreciate it. And if you want the show notes, they are available on igniterock.com/episode23. In the meantime, let's rock with WordPress.